Hey, did you know that the Torture Pod has merch? Yeah, over at redbubble.com/people/torturepod, we have a whole bunch of different items that you can wear, adorn on your phone or your computer or your car to show your love for torture. We have Brazen Bull t-shirts. You can have the torture logo on a mug. Gild Array on Hat Day on a hat, if that's what you choose. Welcome to La Tumba shower curtains. I mean, literally, anything you want. iPhone cases with Sort Your Fucking Life Out on them. I mean, how much better does it get? And remember, all Pride merch sold, profits go directly to the Trevor Project. So you're also helping people in the process of showing your love for the podcast. Let's go to redbubble.com/people/torturepod. And as all the kids these days say, get your fit on, bro. I don't know if that's what they say or not. I'm not cool. The subject of this episode is a method of execution that changed the face of world history. Not by how it executed, or when, or where, or even how many, but by who it executed. Consisting of wood, rope, and nails, this process comes with a pre-execution routine that would many times kill the victim before the actual execution could take place. We'll go all the way back to ancient Persia to witness the evolution of this method from one that resembled, if you can believe it, a much more gruesome way to die, to the iconic images that we know of now. We'll see it be used on a massive scale to punish criminals, make examples of slaves, tear down cities, sacrifice martyrs, and squash rebellions, even those led by historically famous gladiators. It's a very merry Easter episode. Today we give you crucifixion. I'm Kevin Young.
And I'm his very great friend from, well, biggest diggest.
And this is torture. Torture.
Torture.
Torture. Oh, fucking hell. Dan, what you been up to? Other than housework.
That's kind of it.
That's kind of it. Yeah.
Well, actually, yeah, I played the guitar for the first time properly since October, I think I said.
Yeah.
So that's about it. Yeah. How about you?
Just working back on 12s for now. Should hopefully be done with them now for at least a little bit. But,
hopefully.
You know, going to try and enjoy the Easter weekend, 3-day weekend. Got WrestleMania coming up.
Nice.
Super excited. But by the time this comes out, first night of WrestleMania would have already been over, and a second night of WrestleMania should be getting ready to start here not too long.
I forgot that they do it as a multi-night thing now.
Yeah, they do a two-night thing now, which I don't really mind a two-night thing for WrestleMania, but now they want to do it for, like, every other pay-per-view. It's like, oh, these all have to be two nights. Like, no, they really don't.
Nah.
They don't.
It's already bad enough having one. Like, you know, keep it as its own thing. Like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's like saying, oh, let's have a halftime show at every fucking NFL game. You know?
Well,
like,
I mean, a halftime show on the scale of the fucking
Super Bowl. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I mean, AEW is able to put on just as many matches for just as long as WWE does for WrestleMania, and they do it in one night. And the match and the fucking pay-per-views are fucking phenomenal.
That's because all of them are big showcase things the whole time. Really, you know what I mean? They're always trying to make it bigger and everything. You know, you can't just have There's no more like that 3 minute match WrestleMania thing.
You know? Yeah, no, not at WrestleMania. Not so much anymore.
No, I'd say the last one of those is probably back in like, was it Gangrel and Kane?
Something
long.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. No, those don't happen anymore. They got to be big. They got to be grand. But I mean, and every belt should be defended at WrestleMania. They're not doing that this year. Again, this year they're not defending every belt
that
at
was
WrestleMania.
Part of the point of it.
That's kind of the point. You know, is for the champions to get their big nights and squash fucking
big contenders
scores and all that stuff. Yeah. But that's. Yeah, no, they're. Yeah, I don't know.
Does that mean that your boy Cody is champion for a year now? Is it? Was it WrestleMania he won?
At WrestleMania,
year?
Yeah. Not my boy.
Ah, no.
Not my boy. I think this might be the first time in my life that I'm rooting for John Cena to win a wrestling match. Might be
hopefully
the very first time.
And he'll get a belt with a bald spot on it.
You just have a little toupee.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I went for, since it is our Easter episode, I decided to go with a family movie that I believe everybody for Easter should show their little children.
So
Watership Down. Watership Down. It's definitely for little kids. Take my advice. Go watch it for Easter. Mommy, why is that one rabbit ripping that other rabbit in half? Easter, that's why. Define the color of the eggs.
Hold on, my microphone's backwards.
Is it? You sounded a little echoey. You can't tell because the socks are on it.
Now it's the right way around.
Oh, hey, you sound, there he is.
Hey, it was the wrong way around. I only realized there 2 seconds ago because I couldn't see the green light. I was like, why can't I see the green light? I was like, now I can see it through the sock.
I just point the big bulbous area towards me, and that's all I gotta do.
That's what she said.
Ooh, there it is. And it's gone. There it is. And it's gone.
There's mine.
Yeah. For those of you listening and not watching.
Hold on, it's gonna get a little bit of noise here when I pull this back. Like,
sorry. That's all right.
There you go.
Like to apologize to everybody for no episode last week. You know, life fucking happens. Dan had a bunch of shit to get taken care of. And I would not have been a very good host because I could barely talk. I was so fucking sick. I mean, it was.
I worked
out
okay then.
It was bad, but it worked out. Yes, put out our Easter episode actually on Easter. So. Yeah, it all worked out, I guess. If you, yeah. You guys, would you guys do anything for Easter? We don't do.
Yeah, well, we don't. It's not that, like, it's not something we make a thing of, you know, but we are doing something. Like, yeah, like, we're going to my wife's sister's for a bit of family.
A little
meal.
Dinner.
Yeah.
We always did an Easter dinner, but this year it's like my boys don't really come over anymore. They're kind of grown, going, doing their own thing. Her kids are probably going to go fly off, do whatever the fuck they want. So it's like, should we get stuff for Easter dinner? It's like, no. WrestleMania is that night. I don't give a shit. We used to color eggs and hide them in the yard and kids go find them, and we don't do that anymore. It's just, you know, maybe with the grandkids, when we get grandkids, we'll do that type of stuff. But
it turns from cool shit like that into just money. It's like, hey.
Yeah.
Here's the money I would have spent on an egg. Fuck off.
Yeah, I can pay my mortgage now because I didn't buy that one fucking egg.
That's true. God, they're wickedly expensive. They're disgusting.
My God,
expensive.
It's just ridiculous. I got them for half price at the grocery store last time I went, and they were still $6.
Yeah, we got
That's
one.
That's half price.
It was at half price. I got some. They were €10 each.
Ridiculous.
And you can get 4 little ones on special offers and places for, like, I think it was like €5 or something like that. But when you look at the cost, like the grams that you get in it, it works out more expensive than buying like a regular sized individual chocolate bar, which in itself are already wickedly expensive because you can buy big ass bar for the same price practically, you know.
Yeah.
So. It's like buying 2 liters worth of Coke in cans individually, as opposed to just buying a bottle. You know,
Anytime my wife used to, before, she'd be like, can you bring me home a Pepsi? I'd be like, yeah, sure. And I'd bring her home a fucking 2 liter.
Yeah,
and
she'd be
like, I just wanted a regular thing of Pepsi. I was like, this was literally cheaper than a 20 ounce bottle of Pepsi. This 2 liter was a dollar cheaper.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Alison had to buy lunch. Like, normally she'd bring lunch in, but we hadn't got anything that day because I still had handled the shop. And, she had to go buy lunch, so she was saying to me she brought home, she had like the little bottle of Pepsi that she got. Mm-hmm. And normally what we do is we buy it because yes, this is a Pepsi house because it's far superior.
Fucking just throwing it
out there, yeah.
Fucking
And normally we the shop that we'd go to, like, because we get them like in 2 liter bottles, we'd normally get three or four of them for €5, depending on the special that's on.
Sure.
And so we tend to buy, like, when we do a shop, by like whatever amount that is, like, be it like by 6 or 8 or whatever. And that one bottle technically cost maybe twice as much as one of those, like, and it's only like a 500ml bottle. It costs like twice as much as 2 liter did. Yeah. When we normally buy them, that's like fuck.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's stupid. But anyway, that's enough of my economics.
Oh no, that's fine. I know they do a an adult Easter egg hunt over at the Renaissance Festival grounds over by us, and you go out there and they're filled with, like, you can win cash. They're filled with little bottles of, like, alcohol and shit. You can open
cool.
It's an adult. And my wife's like, that would be fun. I was like, yeah, if we drank.
Yeah, yeah. We could just stick it in the post, Dan.
Good. I don't know how legal it is, but yeah, we could.
Yeah. There's nothing illegal about transporting it or posting it, or it's illegal to purchase, is the thing. It's not legal for you to sell it to me without a liquor license, but you won't be selling it to me, you know?
No, he's selling it to you. It sounded like fun, but
probably
something we won't get to do until the kids are gone.
Someday. This weekend.
Maybe. Put my foot in their back and push out the door. I was sure to wear the most Easter shirt I had.
Oh, yeah. I did, too.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, I don't know what Bacination is. Baconation.
Baconation. Height room.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. All right, let's get to it. Dan, let's take you back to the first century Roman Empire. You are a slave that just refuses to accept that this is the way life is now. You have constantly tried to escape and start uprising amongst your fellow slaves to achieve your freedom. So much so that your master has decided that the only way to deal with you is to make an example of you. And you are put through a trial, for formality's sake, and found guilty of trying to start a rebellion, and you are sentenced to death. I know, it's kind of
my thing.
Overreach. Yeah.
my entire defense strategy was based on the question, what did the Romans ever do for us, anyway? That's my entire defense.
Yeah, I mean, the roads. The roads. Well, yeah, the aqueduct? Of course, obviously, yes, the aqueduct.
Under floor heating, the bastards.
Now, on the day of your execution, you are first stripped naked. Your clothes can be given to other slaves. Yeah. Party. And then you are beaten and whipped, but not the fun way. Not the way you want. Now, after leaving you a bloody pulp, a large, heavy beam of wood weighing between 75 and 125 pounds is then placed on your shoulders and then tied to your outstretched arms, and you are then made to march. You begin walking through the streets on your way to the outer gate of the city.
He just coughed.
I'm going to have to stop several times to cough because I'm still sick.
I'll fill in your lack of coughs when you mute it with actual with coughs.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it. You begin walking through the streets on your way to the outer gate of the city. Under the blazing sun, you are mocked, taunted, kicked, pushed down, spit on, and have various things thrown at you from the city's soldiers and citizens. When you finally reach the execution site, you see several posts already sticking high up out of the ground. These were usually done in mass quantities. You are then thrown on the ground, and the soldiers take long iron nails and begin driving them through the center of your wrists. You are then lifted up, and the board that you are nailed and tied to is placed on top of the beam sticking up from the ground, and is then lashed together. Then your feet are nailed to the vertical beam, and you are left to hang. This is the execution of crucifixion.
Nice. Christopher walking was carrying that thing.
Now, you would hang there for possibly days waiting to die. Now, how you actually die is still up for debate. Yeah,
you're pretty much. My God, feel like, it's getting off this thing.
Can we get a phone or something? Anybody want to play Scrabble?
Words with friends, anybody? Candy Crush?
Just yelling at kids walking by, hey, you want to hear a riddle? For years, scholars thought that you actually died from asphyxiation, a theory attributed to Pierre Barbet, a late 19th and early 20th century French physician. I guess I was wrong. I guess there was some French in here. I can't get away from it. I forgot about that. He claimed that when the whole body's weight was supported by the stretched arms, the condemned would have severe difficulty inhaling due to hyperexpansion of the chest muscles and lungs. They would then have to pull themselves up by the arms or push themselves up with their legs while their feet were either tied to the beam, nailed to the beam, or pushing against a wooden block, leading to exhaustion. When no longer able to lift yourself, the condemned would die within a few minutes. However, Frederick Zugby, the chief medical examiner of Rockland County, New York, in the late 20th century, didn't think this was the case, so he suspended test subjects with their arms at 60 degrees to 70 degrees from vertical. The test subjects had no difficulty breathing during the experiments, but did suffer rapidly increasing pain. And in 2023...
Dysentery. That's what killed them.
That's a different episode. We already covered all that stuff.
It was the rats. That's what
it was, the rats. In 2023, an analysis of medical literature concluded that asphyxiation was discredited as the primary cause of death from crucifixion. The most likely reasons for death were probably a mixture of heart failure, shock from blood loss, dehydration, pulmonary embolism, or infection from the nail punctures and the beatings beforehand.
And or all of the above.
All pretty much just everything. Just yeah. All of it. What's wrong with you? Oh, you know, all of it.
Yeah.
Hypochondriac.
I'm fully convinced what they did was they actually played Ghost for them and everybody just killed themselves. That's all it was.
People online be like, you're either putting out a new song? No, I didn't hear, and I don't plan on it.
No, don't care. Fuck off, Bon Jovi.
Don't give two fucks. Yeah. Now, sometimes, depending on who you were or who your family was, if they could get a declaration from a Roman judge after the victim died, the family could then come retrieve the body and properly dispose of it. But usually, the body would be left to hang, becoming food for various scavenger-style animals before being dumped into a common grave, which we've seen before.
Yep.
But
it's a common factor in many of these things.
Yeah. Just leave them out to be eaten by animals, and then when they're nothing but bones, just throw them in a hole somewhere.
Yep. Sweep and brush out.
But Roman slaves weren't anywhere near the only people that would be crucified. And the crossbeam T-style wasn't the only type of crucifixion that took place. Now, it's commonly believed that crucifixion began in the 6th century BCE with the Assyrians, Persians, Macedonians, and Carthaginians. Look at that, I said it right this time.
Oh, you didn't call them Carthage Indians this time.
Carthaginians? Is that
Carthage
what I was
Carthage Indians.
Although it looked less like traditional crucifixion we knew today and more of a simple impalement. Pretty much just.
That's a big fucking difference, though, to be
fair.
That's
a big difference.
Yeah. Is it a person turned into a giant shish kebab?
Something
or
like
are they
that.
Hanging on a fucking piece of wood. You know, I mean, that's two very fucking things.
It never really said. It said it looked like a simple impalement. I don't know if they were actual. Let's get a little into it. So it'd either be a simple impalement or hanging bodies from poles.
Like Vlad style.
Yeah. Now, according to the South African Medical Journal, the victims were usually tied, feet dangling, to a tree or post. The first instance of crucifixion that we hear about is actually post-mortem from 522 BCE, when Polycrates, the tyrant of Samos, a Greek island off the coast of Turkey, was assassinated by the Persians, and then his dead body was crucified. Now, there's no way to say if this was an impalement style or a cross style that we know of today. More than likely, impalement style, I would imagine.
When you said it was different, I was expecting it to be like upside down. Like their legs are going that way instead. You know, they're upside down. Now their hands like this, like they're high diving.
Yeah.
That'd be really funny.
Keep that idea in your head.
Just their junk hanging down for the birds to peck at.
Yeah. Put a pin in that. We might get back to it later.
Cool.
Now, we do know that the cross style did show up at most 100 years later when the Greeks, who were known for more stonings than crucifixions, executed the Persian general Eratosthenes around 479 BCE. The Greek historian Herodotus wrote, quote, "They nailed him to a plank and hoisted him aloft. They crucified him with hands and feet stretched out and nailed to cross pieces." So that's kind of the first instance we hear of it actually being cross pieces instead of just a pole. Then there was Alexander the Great and the Siege of Tyre in 332 BCE. Now, Tyre was and still is an ancient Phoenician port city located on an island off the coast of modern-day Lebanon.
It's
was big. Wealthy.
It's round. It's black.
Is it? I have no idea. It's a tire.
Yeah.
Put them on somebody's neck and set it on fire. See, it all comes all, it's always all back around.
Ironically, full circle. Yeah.
It was a wealthy, powerful, and heavily fortified, built on a small island about half a mile offshore, surrounded by thick stone walls rising directly from the sea. It was a key strategic target for Alexander's campaign to control the eastern Mediterranean. But they refused to surrender or allow Alexander to enter the city and sacrifice at their temple. So Alexander attacked. And after months of trying, he finally breached the southern wall with towers and ladders. He's bringing the ladder! just thousands of people. They have ladders! I thought this was going to do it.
Curse
no,
this new invention.
Ladders. Is that... What's this escalator you talk of? Now, Alexander, obviously peeved off from the 8 or so months of sieging, took his anger out on the tyrants. Almost 8,000 civilians were slaughtered. 30,000 men, women, and children were sold into slavery, and 2,000 military-aged men, either soldiers or civilians that took up arms, were ordered crucified. So they set out 2,000 wooden crosses, each holding a crucified man, along a stretch of beach around the island, their bodies visible from ships approaching the harbor as a message, resistance is death. Many of them stayed alive for days, exposed to the blazing Mediterranean sun, salty sea air, pecking birds, and biting flies.
I wouldn't want the pecking birds anywhere near my pecking bird. You got me?
You're just up there like...
Yeah, and every time you move to try and get rid of them, it just make it more enticing, you know?
Yeah. You're like, ooh.
It's like dining a street with a cat.
It's a live one. Yeah. Go for it. I like a good fight. Leaving survivors of the city to walk past the bodies of their hanging husbands, sons, and friends. He did, however, pardon any citizen that took shelter in the Temple of Melkart, including the king at the time. So that's kind of bullshit. All these men are out there fighting, trying to keep, you know, Alexander and his horde out of your city, and the king's hiding in a fucking temple somewhere.
Tony, I'd totally be that guy. I'd be walking down, like, your friend would be hanging up and be like, hey, Dave, what's up? Keep hanging on in there.
It'd be like that scene in Ace Ventura when Nature Calls, when he's shooting the fucking spit wads up in his face.
Yeah.
With my training, he'll be the best. It's also said that he crucified a doctor that failed to treat his lifelong friend, Hephaestion. If anybody knows anything about Alexander, he had a lot of men who were friends.
It was lost in translation. It wasn't Alexander the Great. It was Alexander the Gay. That's what it was.
Pretty much. Yeah. And he may have also crucified his official historian and biographer, Callisthenes, for objecting to Alexander's adoption of Persian ceremony of royal adoration or showing respect to the gods of the people you are conquering. And I'm sure I'm murdering probably half of those Greek names.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Like, why couldn't they have normal names? You know, like Bob or David.
Steve
or something.
Cooper.
You know, yeah. You know, it's like your baby's born. Like, what we call it? Oh, Calapricious. And you have another one. Oh, Costacousicus.
Alexander the Pretty Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't roll off the tongue.
What a great surname, though. No pun intended.
Then there was... Alexander Janius, king and high priest of Judea, ruling during the Civil War of Judea from 93 to 87 BCE. He eventually squashed the rebellion against his reign, and in probably the most graphic and disturbing case of mass crucifixion we know of, after the rebellion was subdued, quote, "Now, as Alexander was feasting with his concubines in public, in sight of all the city, he ordered about 800 of the rebels to be crucified. And while they were yet alive, he ordered the throats of their wives and children to be cut before their eyes." So, I mean, it's bad enough you're crucified, then you have to watch your whole family get, you know,
yeah, look, I don't think he got the name The Great by being a very passive person.
Well, this is a different Alexander.
Oh.
Alexander Janius, king and high priest of Judea.
Oh, yeah. Alexander Genitals, right.
Too many Alexanders. What is it while we're doing a story about crucifixion? Everybody's named Alexander.
Go back to the Prishkia Kiskius names and stuff like that, because at least you can tell those apart. So it was Dave.
That's okay. We'll run into like two different Flaviuses here in not too long.
Alexander the Fassett.
But that wasn't the worst part of it. It was said that the women and children would be laid at the feet of the crosses, and some of the children would even be hung by the neck with a rope from the neck of the crucified.
Wow.
Yeah. That's fucking dark. You wake up, you're crucified, you look down, there's your kid hanging from your neck by their neck. Yeah. I mean,
like, it's like this is already pretty bad punishment. Yeah. Can't make this any worse. He's like, hold my beer. Let's go. Get me that kid.
Yeah, you're just hanging there like, oh, well, at least the worst is over.
It's just one guy sitting at the base of it going, wild card, motherfucker.
But as horrible as those examples were, it wasn't the two Alexanders that made crucifixion infamous. For that, we head to Rome. The Romans refined crucifixion into a gruesome art of execution intended for slaves, pirates, and enemies of the state, but never Roman citizens. They were exempt from such dishonor. For Rome, crucifixion served a clear political function: deterrence through horror. And it's pretty much anybody who wasn't a Roman citizen.
What do they classify as Roman citizen? People who are from the original Rome or people from the expanded Roman Empire? Are they then considered citizens, or is it like, so if you accepted Rome as the new yoke, if you didn't accept them, then you weren't considered citizen, or they do it to you then? Or I know you don't exactly know this, but
I don't know, but I would imagine that it was probably mostly Rome proper. And
so anybody who traveled with them and all that crap.
People who traveled with them or fought with them or joined up with them and proved themselves, I would imagine they would probably take in as Roman. But yeah, I would imagine that they probably had a pretty strict way of looking at it. Like, well, you can't crucify me, I'm Roman. Well, no, you're from Judea. Just say you like Rome. It doesn't make you Roman.
It's like, quick quiz. What's your favorite type of pasta? They're like,
chow mein. Nope.
Yeah, yeah. Neapolitan. Get him on the cross.
Spaghetti and meatballs. That's not, yeah. No.
I was like, I'd like a chicken madras.
Among the most notorious uses of crucifixion by Rome was the mass execution of slaves following the rebellion in 71 BCE, the Third Servile War, a.k.a. the Gladiator War. Now, in 73... Yeah, I know. Get the lions and all the armor. And now, in 73 BCE, in Capua, the city in southern Italy, known for its lavish estates and gladiator training schools, a group of roughly 70 to 80 gladiators conspired to escape. Armed initially with kitchen knives and makeshift weapons, they fought their way out of captivity, seized wagons of military equipment, and fled to the nearby slopes of Mount Vesuvius. Among them was their supposed leader, Spartacus.
Grappicus.
I am Spartacus.
You forgot that if the TV show's anything to go by, they also had their big oily muscles as a weapon, too.
Yeah, and like, and every woman's tits are out.
Yeah. Fierce amount of penis in that show. It wasn't, my brother called the first season of it. It was called Blood and Sand, and he called it Blood and Boobs.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're constant. Everywhere. Yeah. They're fucking everywhere. I mean, that's why a lot of people watched it.
Yeah, because everybody finally got to see Xena naked.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And it was like,
Lucy Lawless.
All right, yeah, those are great. Because it's one of those things where you wait and wait and wait, and finally you see it, and you're like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it turns out there were boobs all along.
Yeah, just regular boobs. Oh, well. Now, initial forces set to contain the gladiators were defeated. And as word of their victory spread, slaves and impoverished peasants flocked to their cause. The rebel army grew to an estimated 70,000 to 120,000 people, a combination of trained fighters and untrained followers. War dragged on and Rome was humiliated, so the Senate turned to Marcus Licinius Crassus, one of the wealthiest men in Rome. known for his ancient and brutal practices like decimation, or the execution of every 10th soldier in units that failed or fled in battle, to restore fear and order amongst his troops. Like, if you guys lose, then it's just going to be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, dead. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, dead. They just keep going around. He's going around again! Stop him! Stop him!
I don't like those odds.
No. Rome finally cornered Spartacus in southern Italy in a final confrontation near the Salaris River in 71 BCE, killing Spartacus and ending the war.
Ruined the end of the show, Kevin. Yep, fair fucking play. I mean,
yeah, can't keep going on Spartacus.
Who would have known that guy lived all that time ago was dead now?
Yeah.
You know?
Wait a minute, he died? That's not cool. Spoilers. If you haven't seen Spartacus yet. Yeah, it ends. I believe it ends with him dying. Anyway, punishment for the rebellion, Crassus made his decision. They took to the Appian Way, the main road from Capua to Rome, and lined the 125-mile road with crucified bodies of over 6,000 rebels. That equals out to about one every 110 feet. They were denied proper burial after death and left to rot, subject to the elements, animals, and stares of travelers for months. I mean, that's a lot of dead bodies on the road.
Yeah. That's pretty rough.
That's a little. It's like, you think you're taking it a little too far? No, put another one in. But I mean, we have so little wood left. Another one.
The entire way from Rome to Capua be stinking.
Yeah.
The entire way.
But I can't imagine it would have smelled any better back then anyway.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. People would just stop and take a shit on the side of the road.
Yeah. I think the Greeks were kind of clean people, but I don't know how clean the Romans were. I'm not 100% sure. If you're a historian and you know how clean the Romans were, please email us, torturepod@gmail.com, and let me know so I can...
They probably invented the clap, for God's sake, you know, so...
Then there was the siege of Jerusalem in 70 CE, the climax of the First Jewish-Roman War, or a.k.a. the Great Jewish Revolt. For years, tensions had built between the Jews of Judea and the Roman authorities because of religious oppression, taxation, corrupt Roman administrations, and a growing sense of Jewish nationalism. Finally, in 66 CE, full-scale revolt broke out, and Jewish rebels took over Jerusalem. And, like they do, Rome retaliated with overwhelming force. It's like, we have this little band of people who just kind of kicked some of our soldiers out and took over Jerusalem. Let's send in the entirety of our military to kill these.
Send every Praetorian guard we can send in, every single one of them.
Do we have nukes yet? Can we nuke them? Yeah. No? Not for another 2,000 years?
Yeah, right, see these guys sitting there with sharp sticks and a fucking helicopter appears above them. You know, these Praetorian guards all dropping out of it like shock troopers.
I wrote a song. Listen. Oh. Now, the first Vespasian, then his son, Titus Flavius, took to Jerusalem with orders to, quote, crush the resistance, burn the city, leave nothing behind. They sealed off the city, cutting off supplies and escape routes for 5 months. The people inside the walls of Jerusalem resorted to eating leather belts, weeds, dung, and even human flesh.
My God.
Yeah. Like, after 5 months? You resorted to cannibalism after 5 months?
I'd do that after a week. What are you talking about?
There's no Doritos left. Get him!
All we have is the Fuego flavor left. Get him!
Oh, God, no. Oh.
throwing all those out the enemy.
All we have left to drink is this Mountain Dew Black.
No! Any of it, no. No, thanks. Fucking horrible liquid sugar shite.
I loved Mountain Dew when I was a kid. Like, Baja Blast from Taco Bell is still really good. But I can't really do Mountain Dew. I can't do the super caffeinated, super sugary drinks anymore. I don't even get sweetened tea when I get a tea from someplace anymore. I get just straight tea. I don't know. I could feel the diabetes kicking in. Maybe it's the American in me. I don't know. But I could feel the diabetes just like, I'll take another bite of that candy bar and you're going to lose your foot.
Doesn't fucking stop me.
Now, Flavius Josephus, see, there's our second Flavius, a former rebel commander who defected to the Romans, fucking splitter, told of a woman named Maria who roasted and cannibalized her infant son. Yeah, doesn't say if she did it while the baby was alive or not. Hopefully not, but... I don't know. Maybe it's like lobster. The screams really add to the flavor.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know.
So she's probably rolling it in tempura batter and just into a giant pot of tallow. There you go. Hush, little baby, don't say a word. You're going to come out a mummy as a turd. Nom, nom, nom.
Jesus Christ.
That's twice. The child came out of her.
Oh, that got me. God damn it. Now, Titus ordered mass crucifixions of both punishment and spectacle to terrify the population and discourage further resistance. Josephus wrote, quote, "So the soldiers, out of the wrath and hatred they bore the Jews, nailed those they caught, one after one and another after another, to the crosses by way of jest. Thousands of Jews that tried to flee the city were caught outside the walls, were captured and crucified, and these were done daily in full view of those inside the city. And they didn't just stick to the standard way of crucifying. They experimented with forms, like you do in college, changing the positions of the crucified, crucifying people right side up, upside down, sideways, with arms twisted in cruel variations, or any other way they could think of."
It's like that Leonardo da Vinci thing.
Yeah.
With people on a cross.
Yeah. let's put his head up his ass, and then his head up this hat, his ass, and it'll be like some type of human, what's the insect's name? I can't think of it. Some type of human thing where the food will just travel right through. It'll be a crucifixion human. I can't think of the name. I already said that. Likely including mock trials, jeering crowds, and soldiers betting on or laughing at victims suffering, like taking bets on who would die first or who would scream first.
Of course you would.
We can't
take that as a surprise. I mean, they had the gladiator arenas where they literally bet on people's lives.
So. Yeah. Will this Christian defeat this lion in a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Which...
Or will this Christian defeat these bunch of lepers while he has loads of weapons and they have nothing?
Yeah. Something
except
like that.
Their leprosy to protect them.
Yeah, she's like, cooties. Yeah.
Hey, lepers, it's morphin' time.
Touch me and your nose will fall off. thousands upon thousands, quote, "When their multitude was so great that room was wanting for the crosses and crosses wanting for the bodies. So many people were crucified that there weren't enough crosses and eventually not enough space to set them up. It was, quote, a forest of human suffering."
Can I just reuse crosses? Like, surely they're recyclable.
Well, they left people on them. You get put on a cross, you stayed on the cross. They didn't take you back down until there was nothing left. Until you fell
so
off,
it could be
practically.
Like 10 years sitting up on
a
cross.
I mean, you could be on there until they, you know, decided to take you down. But I mean, there's two sides. So technically, you know, one person one side, the other person the other side.
See, that's why the Roman Empire fell, you see, because they didn't use their resources correctly in that way. Like, if you look at any government now, they'd easily turn around and say, well, look, that's good to a point, and then we'll take it back and we'll give it to somebody else to use. You know, so that was your problem there, Roman Empire, if you're listening.
Yeah, not enough bureaucracy and red tape to...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You need to set up a whole government department in order to handle the cross
distribution. The Office of Crucifixion.
Write that down for D&D.
This is the Office of Crucifixion. This is their head director, Jesus, not... related. Now, in ancient Rome, crucifixion started out as basically just hanging someone from a tree of, quote, unfortunate wood. And boy, haven't we all had that. Or trees that had been considered cursed and flogging them to death. Then it graduated to nailing their hands above their head to said tree and beating them or leaving them to die. Then it again evolved into a cross or beam or a cross beam or a patibulum attached to a tree or introducing the upright stipes, the vertical post of wood. Now, despite what you've seen in paintings and in movies, most people were crucified completely nude. And according to the writings of Seneca the Younger, most victims suffered a stick forced upwards through their groin. You know, like a third leg. Just to hold
you
there.
Keep you there. It's like a human card hook.
If the nails aren't enough.
Yeah. Especially putting them on. There you go. He's on properly.
Just some new interns like, is that good enough? Did you hear the pop? No, yeah. I haven't. Keep going till you hear the pop. Oh, dear. Okay, he's in. Good job. Let's go get you a slushie. But
see,
in
that's
many
why
case...
they didn't reuse them, you see, because they were afraid they had to get somebody's poop and guts and stuff on somebody else, you see. They're being sanitary.
Yes, because that's what the Romans brought, sanitation.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
And the aqueduct. But in many cases, there would be a punishment before the punishment with the process of scourging. The condemned would be stripped, and then their back, legs, and ass would be whipped with a modified cat-o'-nine-tails that had been braided with either sharp rocks or pieces of metal. We know all about the cat-o'-nine-tails.
Yeah.
We've talked about those before.
Fuck yeah. I remember we were talking, because I'd watching it and something. I remember telling you about it, and I'll never forget. I can't remember what it was in, though, was a problem, but I'll never forget the scene where it's like they're holding it after whipping the shit out of somebody. And they do that down and all the blood coming off. And it's like, you filthy bastard.
It's just gloop.
Yeah.
It's just fucking gloop. Sometimes the soldiers would take it a step farther and cut off body parts or blind them. I'm not going to get into what body parts they might cut off, but you can use your imagination. This would leave the... they got to make the hole for the stick to... prop up.
But there already is a hole for the stick to...
That's a bigger one now. Bore that out a little bit. Here, use this corkscrew. This would leave the victim a bloody mess on the verge of shock, and some would even die before the crucifixion could take place. But
Lucky
if they
now.
Did survive... Yeah, no, honestly, yes. Kind of. Be like, I will die now. No, motherfucker. Took the easy way out, piece of shit. If they did survive, then they would face the, quote, death march, where the patibulum that they would be executed on, weighing as much as 125 pounds, would be placed on their shoulders and sometimes tied to their arms, and they would carry it to the place of their eventual demise. being forced to walk, still naked and bloody, through the crowded streets, many times bearing a tetalus, or a sign proclaiming the prisoner's name and crime. This would most likely be the time when the patibulum would have a top vertical section attached to it that would help create the version of the cross we all know and wear around our necks or from dangly chains from our ears.
My one's the one that says bad motherfucker on it.
What's his punish? What's his crime? Bad motherfucker. Yeah. You just hear the whole crowd as you're walking. Ooh. The hush falls over the crowd as Dan walks through. Shh, he's a bad motherfucker.
That was more of a Sam Jackson quote there, mind you. But yeah, don't worry. I have no doubt in my mind. I am not a bad motherfucker. I'd be like, I'd be like, I tell you anything you want to know. Do anything you want.
He's bad, brother. Shut your mouth. Talking about Shaft.
Oh, I love Sam.
The crowd and soldiers along the way would yell and jeer and spit and throw things at the victims as they walked. When they finally arrived, they would then be forced to the ground and many times, not always, be nailed to the patibulum, usually with 5 to 7 inch iron spikes, possibly even 9 inch nails. Ooh. Who knows?
Yeah. I keep thinking you're saying perineum every time you're saying that as well. The perineum. Nailed them to the perineum.
They had to carry a huge taint all the way to the sea gates.
Asus Erectus was having to carry his perineum the entire way.
The perineum will come into play here in a minute. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's my favorite body part. To have anything under.
I love it when the perineum comes into play. Yeah, yeah.
No one ever suspects the Spanish perineum.
No one ever suspects the perineum. God damn it. Ugh. Fuck, where was I?
That's 1 inch you're not allowed to touch.
Yeah.
Talia, be in the middle of being tortured. Like, do your worst. As soon as they go near there, be like, I'll tell you anything.
Now you're just like, ow. Oh, God. Oh, it hurts. Oh, no, not there. Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, bad. Yeah.
Too low, motherfucker.
Limits. Bad. Pineapple. Armageddon. Oh, fuck. Anyway, unlike many paintings would suggest, it was rarely through the hands. The hands wouldn't be able to support the weight of the body. So the nails would normally go through the middle of the wrist between the radius and ulna of the forearm, many times shattering one or the other. Then, with the help of ropes and pulleys, the victim would be hoisted off the ground and the patibulum would be fastened to the stipes. Or it could be stipes. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's stipes. S-T-I-P-E-S.
Look, it's Roman stuff like that. I'd say it's stipes. With stipes. The way everything else is pronounced.
Yeah. Now, as far
stipes
as...
Stipes erectus was put on the ucus abucus.
With biggest dickus. And naughtiest maximus. Now, as far as the feet go, there are a few different things that could happen. Some crosses had small blocks attached to the stipes halfway up so the crucified could attempt to hold themselves up. There was also word of a small block a little farther up that the victim could use as a small, uncomfortable seat, or worse, a peg that would be placed in the area of the perineum. But many times, yeah, just put it just right up there and just sit down on it. Nice. It hurts. Well, you want us to get rid of it? No. I didn't say stop. I just said it hurts. There I am. Okay. But many times the feet would also be nailed to the cross. Again, in most paintings, the feet are depicted as overlapping with the nail going through the middle of the foot, which may have happened for some. But in 1968, contractors working in Givat HaMivtar in East Jerusalem accidentally uncovered a Jewish tomb. Inside this tomb lay the stone ossuary, or stone box that held skeletal remains, of a Judean
filled
man.
With bagels. 1,000-year-old bagels.
1,000-year-old bagels with lox and cream cheese.
Yeah.
Just flick off the dirt. the remains of a Judean man named Johanan, who was sentenced to death by crucifixion in the first century. Now, inside this ossuary were heel bones, one of which still had a bent nail through it, suggesting that crucifixion victims would have their feet nailed to the side of the stipes instead of the front.
That makes sense, though. I've always wondered, like, if you were to lie across your feet like that, like, it's just, it's really... I know it's not meant to be comfortable. It's really awkward position.
Kind of the reason,
I know, yeah, but like it's not exactly a natural position for it. You know, it would make it awkward.
And if it being in the wrists, which would give you a little bit more stability than the hands, but it going through one nail going through both feet wouldn't give enough support to actually hold you up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but going through the heels on the side. I feel much more sturdy. And you can't
talk about the structure integrity of a human body when it's on the side of, on a cross.
Yeah. Plus, I think it would give you, because if your feet are in front of you, if your feet are in front of you, then you're more like reclined almost. But if your feet are on the sides, I think it's going to feel like you're going to keep falling off.
That's true.
And it's
going to
pull on your wrist a little bit. Yeah, it's going to make you. It's going to make it even worse.
It's a shame that guy who tested things back out in 2006, whatever the fuck you said, didn't do that now. You know, he'd be like,
I'm just going to put a nail in. Yeah, just put a nail on your foot. Just going to be a nail on your foot. I mean, there are people who volunteer to be crucified on, you know, certain holidays. So, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, it's
those
stupid.
Those people are idiots.
It's stupid. Like, but it happens. But a lot of things are stupid that happen.
That's true.
It seems it was also common to break the legs of the prisoner with an iron bar after they were on a cross in order to keep them from lifting themselves up. So, I mean, just a little, be like, oh, it hurts, but at least I can push up with my legs and take a little bit of the... Ow! Fucker! Fucker! Nope, not going to do that. Nope. Ow. Ow. Is that a tire iron? Where'd you get a tire iron?
Cracked out the wheel. It's like, God damn it.
They were also sometimes stabbed with spears while upon the cross, the end of which would then be lost for centuries and then found and used as a plot point for one of Keanu Reeves' best and most underappreciated movies. Now,
movie would that be that you're talking about here now, Kevin? Just so we can school the people, because, you know, Keanu Reeves, you know, you're talking about Speed, right?
Speed, oh, well, yeah.
The bus that couldn't slow down.
The bus that couldn't slow down. It also had a spear in it. Yeah.
Yeah. God damn it, I love that movie.
He goes back in time and gets it in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, when a man was crucified, they would be faced outward with their back to the cross. But it seems that when women were crucified, since they were naked, they would have their front to the cross, possibly to give them a modicum of modesty. Ass is still blowing in the wind, but your tits are covered, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
As long as they could fit behind that one piece of wood, because if your arm...
Yeah, so if you get a little black piece of wood, that like the sensor sign.
Yeah, a little sensor
put it up. Yeah.
Just some lady in a suit underneath be like, you can't look at that. Now, so why would one be crucified? Well, it was a common punishment for slaves that had either attempted to escape too many times, killed their masters, rebelled, stole, were insubordinate, or aided other rebels. Also, anyone who rose up against the Roman authority, especially during war or civil unrest. Traitors to Rome or revolutionaries, pirates or bandits that were considered a threat to Roman trade, stability, and security. Julius Caesar captured and crucified pirates that had once kidnapped him. Foreigners that were considered enemies of the state or non-citizens, deserters and cowardly soldiers, criminals that were non-citizens that had been convicted of crimes like murder, arson, treason, or grave robbery, or pretty much anyone that wasn't a citizen of Rome could be crucified. It was deemed too humiliating for Roman citizens who were normally just beheaded or exiled.
Oh, which, I mean, nice.
Getting beheaded is obviously better than being crucified, and exiled is probably the best as long as they send you to, like, I don't know, Mozambique or something. Can I be exiled to, like, I don't know, Jamaica?
Russia.
Russia. You have anything in the Serbian area?
I like the cold climate.
I like to go sledding. It's a thing I do. It's a hobby. The crucifixions in Rome would last until 337 CE when, motivated by his religious beliefs, Constantine I outlawed crucifixion in the Roman Empire. He replaced it with hanging. So you're still kind of up in the air, but it's a lot quicker. I just heard that fucking cardinal. God damn it. But it didn't end everywhere. Now, in Japan, it was known as Hartaska and was used most notably during the feudal and early modern periods. Introduced around the 12th or 13th century, it was most common in the Edo period between 1603 and 1868 under the Tokugawa shogunate. And just like in Rome, it was used to punish those convicted of murder, treason, banditry, desertion, peasant uprisings, and Christian proselytizings. Like the 26 martyrs of Nagasaki. Possibly the second worst atrocity to happen in Nagasaki. It's like, this is the worst thing to ever happen to this. This is the worst thing to ever happen to this city. Oh, just wait. The worst thing so far. Now, on February 5th.
There's always a bigger fish.
Yeah, there's always a bigger bomb. And February 5th, 1597. Under the orders of Toyotomi Hideyoshi, Japan's ruling warlord, Christianity had been banned, being seen as a threat to national unity and sovereignty. 20 Japanese converts and 6 foreign ministers, missionaries were made examples of. Arrested in Kyoto and Osaka, they were marched over 800 kilometers, or 497 miles, in the cold winter. It took 27 days to reach their final destination. Their ears cut off in public before being crucified on Nishisaka Hill in Nagasaki. Bound to crosses with iron restraints, each was then stabbed with spears, a traditional Japanese execution method. Among them were children as young as 12. Who reportedly died singing hymns and praying. They were all later canonized as saints by the Catholic Church in 1862.
Hmm. Goddamn. Japan is crazy.
The last known Japanese crucifixions took place in the early 19th century, or possibly as late as 1860. So, I mean, that's Civil War.
I was going to say, like, look, like, fucking lynching didn't happen that long.
Yeah.
A very common thing not that long ago, so.
Yeah. It was also used in Islamic societies and Burma for execution rituals. In Europe, during World War I, there were rumors of German soldiers crucifying Canadian soldier Harry Band on a tree or barn door with bayonets and knives, even though there was no conclusive evidence of it actually happening. And it was reported that there were several cases of German civilians being crucified in Eastern Prussia when it was occupied by the Soviets at the end of World War II.
And the Canadian was reported to have kept apologizing every time he couldn't stay up on the cross. Sorry about that.
Oh man, that hurts. Oh, right there in the wrist there. Oh, that hurt. I know. I'm killing your mood. I apologize. Just keep doing what you guys just keep doing. Ow! Just keep doing what you guys are doing. I'll try to be quiet. I know I'm killing the mood for you guys. Are having such a good time.
Was ist das?
But I mean, World War II, that's kind of a late time to be
crucifying people.
Crucifying people.
Yeah.
January 2005. 23-year-old Marchika Irina Cornici moved to the Tanku Monastery in Romania after a friend from an orphanage she grew up in had encouraged her to do so. Not long after, she began having giggling fits in mass, which, I mean, we all had giggling fits in mass. They want us to believe what?
Yeah, true.
Two of every animal. Come on.
Yeah, I'd bring at least 17 chickens. Can't get a plate of wings from 10 chickens. It's hardly even a starter. Come on.
It was the beginnings of mental decline. By April, her mental stability had become so bad that she had
named her metal band. That was the start of mental decline. Mental decline.
So bad that she had to be seen by doctors at a local psychiatric hospital. Her doctor, Dr. Grigory Silvestrovich, said, quote, or Silvestrovici, said, quote, she thought the devil was talking to her and told her that she was a sinful person. It's a symptom of schizophrenia, and she was probably having her first episode. After a 2-week treatment, she was released into the care of the monastery. Enter Daniel Coriganu, the 29-year-old priest of the monastery, which a 29-year-old should never be the priest of a monastery. I'm sorry. It should be like some 60 or 70-year-old guy who's all hunched over walking with him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the main priest. How old is he? 29. No. Fuck you. No.
They're obviously kind of stuck for somebody for position, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody else had been fucking crucified at that stage or some shit. Or if any horror movies anything to go by, they're all killed by some fucking satanic thing. Especially in Europe. They always have crazy shit going on over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, because everything's haunted.
That's true. Yeah. They don't have that sort of stuff here. They're afraid of all the banshees, you see.
Mean, gotta look on the guys. You gotta look on the bright side of life. He believed that it wasn't just a simple mental illness, but devil possession. They would need to have an exorcism. So they began on June 12th, 2005, in order to restrain her from violent movements, including those causing her to hit herself. Nuns that had become, quote, completely devout to him, bound her hands and feet and locked her in a room as they participated in liturgy commemorating Why can't I fucking talk? Liturgy commemorating the ascension of Jesus. Jesus,
what was that again?
Fucking Christ. Nope, you didn't hear it the first time. Just
leprosy.
Computergurgen. I'm leaving it all in.
Fuck.
A few days later, they chained her to a cross with her arms stretched and carried her into the church so they could anoint her. According to Sister Nicolette, I can't pronounce her last name. I've tried this already. I have no. There's too many vowels.
Something like that.
Arcalaniu? Something like that? Cornici had been restrained in the same manner that others who were demonically possessed were, and that had she not been restrained, she, quote, could have killed herself or killed someone else. and that, quote, Irina knew that she was possessed by evil spirits because she was begging us to tie her up and help her. No, she probably fucking wasn't. Would you tie me to that cross and exorcise me, please? I'm sick and tired of all these voices in my head. Her wrists and forehead were then anointed with holy oil, and she was kept in the church for 3 days with a towel crammed in her mouth to stop her from cursing, withholding all food and drink as they prayed to cast out the devil. By June 15th, Cornici's condition had deteriorated significantly. Exhaustion, dehydration, and starved. She fell unconscious, realizing she was unresponsive. The nuns called for an ambulance. However, it was too late. Cornici was declared dead upon arrival at the hospital. Cause of death was determined to be shock due to dehydration and malnutrition. Father Coraganu and the nuns were charged with aggravated murder, as the brutality and premeditation of the exorcism led directly to Cornici's death. February 19, 2007, Father Coraganu was sentenced to 14 years in prison for his role in her death. The four nuns received sentences ranging from 5 to 8 years. However, if you want to get pissed off, Cornici's time behind bars was cut short, and in 2011, after serving only 7, he was released early.
And promoted within the priesthood.
Probably.
He is next in line for popehood at a ripe young age of about 35.
Yeah, all he has to do is start touching little kids and he'll go shoot straight up. He'll be cardinal before you know it.
I see what you did there. You didn't see what you did there, but I saw what you did there.
This?
He said start touching little kids and you'll shoot straight up.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't see what I did there. You caught it. Oh, good for you. It can also to this day be found rarely in places like Saudi Arabia. However, many times the body is crucified after execution. Now, if by chance you are crucified without being executed and can survive for 3 days, you are set free. So, I mean, there's
like
a bargain
to
for
me.
It. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to crucify you. It's going to be horrible. You can live for 3 days. We'll let you go.
Can I bring my Nintendo?
Can you just put the earbuds in and put on like a podcast or an audiobook?
Yeah, stick on cereal or some shit and just leave me there.
Shit town.
Yeah, shit town, yeah. I'd happily listen to that on repeat for 3 days.
Fuck, why are you listening to this show? Go listen to Shit Town. It's so fucking good.
Goddamn, so good.
Yeah. Yeah, way better than this.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would. But of course, we can't get through an episode on crucifixion without talking about the most famous and influential case in human history. And for that, we have to go back about 2,025 years to the little town of Bethlehem on a dirt road in a tiny manger where a newborn babe lay. His name, Brian Cohen. He was visited by three wise men. Of course, three men creeping around a cow shed at 2 a.m. doesn't sound too wise to me. They were, of course, in the wrong manger. Some virgin cunt was having a baby at the manger next door at the same time, and apparently he was more important for some reason. They didn't want the myrrh anyway. Brian would grow up poor and quiet life in Roman-occupied Judea. That is, until he ends up joining the People's Front of Judea, not to be confused with the Judean People's Front.
His front.
Fucking splitters! And after a brisk trip with some... After a brisk trip with some aliens, for some reason, a random street sermon, he attracts a devoted following. Brian is seen as some sort of messiah. Crowds hang on his every word, including what to do with their shoes and gourds. He is eventually captured by Romans and then crucified, while several other victims argue about Jewish crucifixion sites and sing songs about always looking on the bright side of life that takes us all the way through the end credits. The album is available in the foyer.
Nice. Beautiful.
Now, and that, no, I mean, obviously we have to, I believe there is some wacky cult that also, they like worship the cross, they wear it They got up, like, hanging up in buildings and shit. I don't know. Like, 80% of them are just pieces of shit. Yeah. 80% of them are, like, just pieces of shit. And they get together on, like, Sundays, and then they all go out together to a restaurant and yell at a waitress. They're really mean. Some of them are nice, though. But
don't tell me I'm only allowed to eat fish on a Friday, son of a bitch.
That's some Mexican guy named Jesus. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But
isn't that why the filet of fish was made? So was that people could eat McDonald's?
There's a good chance. I don't know if that's the reason. But that's a that. It actually is very good marketing if that's true.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was what I heard before. Now whether or not it's bullshit, even if it is bullshit, the concept of having that out there is great marketing. Like,
yeah, it makes. I mean, it makes sense. Dan, any pop culture?
Yeah, well, there's a fair amount of reference to it in one book in particular, quite possibly one of the most famous books ever written. It is quite to read, even if it's not your thing. And just in case, you know, people don't know what book I'm talking about, it is quite obviously John, Son of Thunder by Allan Gunderson Traynor.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it is in every fucking thing you can imagine. Nearly, really, crucifixion.
It really,
you
is.
Know what I mean, like you said, like anything that does anything to do with depictions of Romans, anything to do with Jeebus, and even like in video games stuff. Like I played that Metro series there recently enough. There's a bit of crucifixion in that, for example.
Really?
Yeah. And like, yeah, just fucking, it's everywhere. Really, like I said, and. Scrapicus, Blood and Boobs, they do have crucifixions going on in that.
Yeah.
Like, they just do show a scene in that where it's obviously meant to be the play on that, the road lined with the, when everybody hung up and crosses and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ Superstar. Go into Irish mammy's home and you're about to also
any Southern grandma.
Yeah. You're guaranteed to see it. Like, it's everywhere.
My parents have a bunch of them in their house, and yeah. I mean, there's that one Mel Gibson movie, Passion,
that nobody talks about.
Yeah,
apparently it's in The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Something to do with crucifixion in it too.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's weird.
Hmm.
I actually saw Passion of the Christ in the movie theaters when it came out, because that's still when I was kind of in that ebb and flow do believe, don't believe area of my life. And I actually cried at the movie, the part where he's carrying the cross and he falls down and Mary comes and lifts him up, and it's a very touching scene. I actually got teary-eyed during it. Entire theater was completely bare. I sat by myself. And the only two other people in there were two old ladies. And guess where they sat? Right fucking next to me. The entire theater is empty. And they sat right,
people do that.
Right next to me. It's like, what are you doing?
Oh, you also have Carrie and Conan the Barbarian. Not to be mixed up with Conan O'Brien. Conan the O'Brien.
Conan the O'Brien. Conan the O'Brien. That's what I'm calling him from now on. Conan the O'Brien. Oh, fuck. Thank you to our patrons, Willow Quinn Fowler, Nevin, and Sam. You can sign up on our Patreon as well at TorturePod. Patreon.com/TorturePod. 1 week of our cult leader tier for free. Connect with us on all socials at TorturePod. Email TorturePod@gmail.com. BuyMeACoffee.com/TorturePod. RedBubble.com/People/TorturePod for merch. All Pride merch profits donated to the Trevor Project, which they... Trust me, they need it right now. Go rate and review wherever you can. And thank you to our sponsors. You can support us by supporting them. Hint for our next episode. Who knew the Sanrio universe could be so brutal? Dan, any words of wisdom?
I have two for you today. Boy. Because I had to have one that is in line with what we just covered.
Sure.
And then one that I had already pre-prepared.
Fair enough.
So, first one is, hang in there, Kitty. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
So it was that terrible. I knew well that we had to have this second one sitting there. But anyway, so I told you earlier on to watch a very particular TV show, which I still think you should watch. Right. Yeah. And this comes from that.
Okay.
Right. The taco of success always drips with the salsa of failure.
Okay.
That was one of my favorite things I heard in a long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
fucking brilliant.
All right. The taco of success always drips with the salsa of failure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yep.
All right. Well, happy Easter, everybody. Find those eggs, eat that ham, go do whatever you're going to fucking do. Watch some WrestleMania. It's going to be an adequate time, I guess. I don't know. It'll be all right.
Isn't it ironic that all Catholic holidays always revolved around food when they had poor old Jesus either dead or starving? Or
Yeah. Easter.
The Christmas is big on food.
Christmas is very big on food. It's another it's another ham. It's and both Easter and Christmas are kind of ham based.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Cuz a lot of people say, "Oh, I have turkey at Easter." We have turkey at Thanksgiving a month before Christmas. So I don't have turkey at Christmas. We have ham. And then we have ham.
We always have ham.
Yeah.
Yes, don't like turkey. But yeah.
I think the only thing that changes is the sides. Easter ham has more like spring and summer type sides, and then the Christmas ham has more winter hardier sides.
Yeah, well, now.
Maybe they're trying to say something. Who knows? Oh, well. Anyway, have a happy Easter, everybody. Sorry about last week. But, you know, it is what it is. All right.
Enjoy your chocolate. Enjoy all your chocolate.
I'm not getting a basket this year. I gotta go buy my own. That's the good thing about being an adult with money, is I can go buy my own fucking chocolate.
We bought 8 eggs for the kids, and we've already eaten one, so we're
Oh, yeah. Yeah, only the rich color eggs this year. Only the rich can color eggs this year.
All right.
Yeah. Because they're the only ones who can buy them. All right, we gotta get out of here. All right, take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you.
Oh, the camera's there. Bye. I was looking up for the camera. Always look on the bright side of life.
Life's a piece of shit. When you look at it. I think that's all we can do without getting sued.
Yeah.
'Confession to make. I have
crabs.
Beard dandruff. So close.
So much worse.
I know. Look away, I'm hideous. All serious. Me serious now. No funny. No. Frankenstein. No fire. Bad. Ah. In all seriousness, many of us men with facial hair have some sort of dry skin under their, you know, face fur. I have particularly dry skin, especially on my face, around my nose, my eyes, ears. That beard and mustache, they draw a ton of moisture from your skin in order to stay healthy, you know, leaving the skin underneath sometimes dry, itchy, red, flaky, leading to the beard dandruff. And I struggled with it for quite a while. Struggled to, you know, rein it in. Then I found thebeardstruggle.com. They use all natural products, never tested on animals, that your face, body, and beard will love.
They have day oils to protect your beard from UV rays and dirt and grime, and it keeps your skin from drying out. All the troubles the day can bring. And they have night oils to help moisturize and rejuvenate your skin and beard while you sleep. Not to mention, as of right now, they have 8 different fragrances, according Kevin. According to this.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah. Do you want to know what they are?
I do. I want you to.
Ready?
I want you to pronounce them perfectly.
Here we go. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
From Alfheim's forest, which has the scent of woodsy, leather and spices, to Hjonir's home,
with
scents of greenery, amber and musk, to Valhalla's gates, with essences of citrus, amber, sandalwood and vanilla.
Mm-hmm. And right now, yes, right now I'm using the Aesir's Triumph, which I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, which has the scent of sweet incense, tobacco, whiskey, and cinnamon, and my wife absolutely loves it. Of course, I haven't gotten one from them that she hasn't loved. So, and if you can't choose, just get the sample pack, which comes with 6 of their mainstay scents and 5-milliliter bottles of nighttime elixir, so you can decide what is best for you. But they have so much more than just oils. Balms, wax, shampoo, conditioner, butters, cologne, natural deodorant, skincare products, heated beard straighteners, combs, brushes, shaving kits, growth kits, merch. List goes on and on and on. No matter what kind, length, or style of facial hair you have, The Beard Struggle has the products you need.
You get a free gift for purchases over $50, then you get another free gift for purchases over $100, and all orders over $65 get free shipping. You have a 90-day money-back guarantee, so you really have nothing to lose. And be sure to use our exclusive coupon code Torture19 at checkout to get 19% off your entire order. That's TORTURE19 at checkout for 19% off your entire order.
Torture19 at checkout, or click on the link in the show notes. TheBeardStruggle.com. Do what's right for your beard. Do what's right for your face.
From automated assembly lines to smart factories, manufacturing is going digital, and fast. If you want to stay relevant, you need the right tech skills. CBT Nuggets helps you get there with practical, easy-to-follow IT training. Build in-demand skills in networking, cybersecurity, and system automation without investing in costly hardware or struggling with complicated setups. Our short, engaging videos and hands-on virtual labs make learning simple and effective. Whether you're a technician on the floor, a manager leading teams, or an engineer optimizing systems, CBT Nuggets fits your schedule and meets you where you are. Train at your own pace, from any device, wherever it works for you. And with new content added regularly, there's always something relevant to learn. Join thousands of professionals who are leveling up their careers with CBT Nuggets. Right now, you can start a 7-day free trial and explore everything we offer, no commitment required. Go to cbtnuggets.com today. Because in modern manufacturing, better tech skills mean better opportunities.